This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. There's a cross. On the cross, there's blood for me. Wow. To God be the glory. Our scripture, Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, we ask now that you speak to us, that we, your servants, might hear, but not just be hearers of your word, we could be followers of your word to do your will. Bless now, God, everyone that hears, everyone that will live, everyone that will receive what you have for us. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me, and before I'll be a slave, I'll be carried to my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Our subject for today, are we free yet? You know, life is a journey, not a destination. Have you ever been on a journey? Have you ever been on a vacation? Have you ever been on a trip and you've gone with small children? Let me ask it again. Have you ever been on a journey or a trip or a vacation with small children? There's one question that gets asked over and over and over again. Once you pull out the driveway, once you get off your street and turn the corner, there's a question that a small child will ask and ask, and well, not just small children. Adults ask the same question when you've been traveling for a minute. And the question is, what? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I'm not such a small child anymore. But we've been on a journey for freedom for over 400 years. And the question is, even today, are we there yet? Are we free yet? There's no doubt that God has brought us as a people from a mighty long way. Our past is a rich history that begins long before our feet touched the shores of this land called America. We came from a rich and noble culture, a land abundant in resources and opportunity with a great heritage. We were stolen and enslaved to build from scratch a nation that would rise above others and make great decrees of freedom and justice for all. For all. For all. You realize this whole freedom thing had been going on for a while. There was a skirmish. Okay, there was a battle. No, there was a war that happened in this country called the Civil War. And through that war of the North and the South, and through that war, those who were defected from the United States, or yeah, you defected from the real America, defected from them to form the Confederate States. And yet out of that war, the North won. I need to serve notice. Some people seem like they don't know that, but the North won. Yeah, America became united. North and South became united. We became one nation under God. But I don't know if you really realize, I found this to be something I really didn't know, but you do know that there was a symbol of liberty, of freedom that was given to America by France. And we know that to be the Statue of Liberty. Yes, the Statue of Liberty, holding the torch high. Now, I know we all thought the Statue of Liberty was given to us by France to celebrate all the immigrants who are coming to America by Ellis Island. But the truth be told, yeah, after the Civil War ended, a French abolitionist named Eduardo de la Barrière proposed gifting the United States with something to commemorate the end of slavery. He convened a meeting of like-minded French citizens to raise funds for a statue and commissioned the sculptor, yeah, Frederick August Bahaudy, to design it. And according to the Washington Post, Bahaudy initially considered having Lady Liberty hold broken chains in her left hand to symbolize the emancipation of slaves. In the final design, however, those chains were replaced with a tablet. Broken shackles are still a part of the statue, but they're difficult to see from most angles because their placement is near Lady Liberty's feet. Even after the Civil War, even with the Statue of Liberty being placed there to show those who were enslaved were now free, the question is still asked, even today, are we yet free? Yes, Lady Liberty completed in the 1800s. The question still asks, our people were enslaved and kept enslaved. Why? Primarily for money, commerce, money. The many skills were used to build buildings. The skills were used to farm the farmlands. The skills were used to raise children. You name it, whatever needed to be done, we did it right here in America. Yes. Matter of fact, I like to consider those who we call slaves, not slaves. They were those who were enslaved. I cannot imagine those who were enslaved walking around saying to each other, what's up, slave? How you doing, slave? Don't believe they use that term. We're using it now because that was taught to us and we began to talk about slaves. They were in slavery, but they were still brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters. In the midst of all of that, God blessed us with something greater than money. Whoop, I got somebody's attention. God blessed us with something greater than money. He gave us a determined mind and a determined heart to truly be free. How much money does it take to be truly free? Our people who sold out for money, sold us out for money, folk who got money, but realized that money didn't make them free. Money can't buy peace of mind. Money can't buy an appetite. Money was what it was all about, however. But money has a way of influencing folk. Yeah. Money can make other people treat you well. Lack of money can make people treat you badly. Money is a motivator, but it's not a cure-all. Blacks living in this nation generate enough money to make all of America say we were wrong. Black Lives Matter. The reason why the economy is doing so great, in my humble opinion, the reason why the economy is being touted as being so great and folk excited about the economy so much, in my humble opinion, is because when all that money, stimulus money, was given to black folk and poor folk, we couldn't wait but help give it back by buying things that we thought we couldn't live without from people who we say we can live without. Yep, economy great. Just wait until those stimulus checks, wait till those stimulus checks run out and those unemployment checks stop. What would happen if we truly believe Black Lives Matter, and we believe Black Lives Matter enough to believe that black businesses matter also? Get our gas from the black gas station. What would happen if we all ate at the black restaurants and the black outdoor barbecue kitchens? Yeah, what would happen even if from protesting, and even if from what other reason you might find yourself going to jail, what would happen if we only used a black bonding company to get out of jail? Well, it's almost, well, we can't believe, we almost can't see it. We almost can't see how we could actually spend money with ourselves in order to help ourselves get to where we believe we really need to go. Are we free yet? Is your wallet free? But there has to be more to life than money. We have to begin right now to take time to thank God for how he has blessed us right here in America for so many things that we have right now, while we figure out how to make it while we wait on reparations that's owed us. In spite of all, you have to admit, God has blessed you. Let me say that again. In spite of all, today, as bad as things are, you do have to take time to admit God has blessed you. Go ahead, look around. Look at your family. Yeah, look around. Look at acquaintances that you have chosen, the folk you have chosen to be around, to call your friends, to call your partners, your buddies. Look at the folk around. Look at who you have on your Facebook. Look who you have your Instagram with. Look who you have chosen to be around you and who can respond to you in a way you want to be responded. God has blessed us. Look at your health. Look at your children, your grandchildren, your nephews, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. Well, maybe not that uncle. Yeah, no, maybe not that one, but all the other family. Look at the very activity of your limbs. If nothing else, look at the hope that swells up in you with encouraging signs of progress, and the transformation of the times we live in seem to shift for the better. Oh, you can't help but be encouraged. You can't help but be encouraged when things happen around us that our foreparents have been looking to happen for years. We look at the marches. We look at what's happening all around us. We look at how the mayor of Washington, D.C. put on the street leading to the White House, Black Lives Matter, and the sign up there to show that's what they named it, Black Lives Matter Way. Oh, you can't only be encouraged when it seems that folk are beginning to catch on. It's better times when established white protocol begins to at least say the words, Black Lives Matter, without saying behind it, all lives matter. They can just say it, Black Lives Matter, and hush. It can't help but be encouraging. Now, some folks saying, Pastor, you're going to talk about Black Lives Matter. What do you mean by that? Black lives, don't you like all lives? You like it? Listen, I heard this, and it made so much sense to me, and I want to share it. Because some folk hadn't caught on yet is why we say Black Lives Matter, as if we saying somebody else doesn't matter. I heard this, and this really helped. I love this analogy. Listen, if you're on a block of old houses, you're on a block of houses, and your house caught fire, do you want, when the firemen get there with the fire truck and the hoses, do you want them to say, well, you know, all houses matter. Let's start putting water on the houses that are not burning because they matter too, while your house burning down. If you see the midst of where we are in America right now, now it has been exposed again and again and again and again, but now it exposed why it is truly that Black Lives Matter. We begin to see how God can get glory. You ask folk, well, do they really get it? Do they really get it? Are they just saying the words, so do they really get it? Well, maybe. But before we put too much stock in man, please take the time to acknowledge God. Yeah, God should be the one that gets the glory, especially when it's impossible, when the impossible happens, because only God can see the heart. You don't have to worry about, are they telling the truth, do they really mean it or not? We know that God can move in the midst of every situation. He's done it before, he'll do it again. That's why we can see others' good works. Yeah, it says, let your light so shine so others may see your good works, but give God glory. If other people begin to do good works, watch the good works, appreciate the good works, but give God the glory. Because only God can change the heart. Only God can move within the heart and make the heart like he desires for the heart to be. You can't really tell what's going on in someone's heart. And without godly wisdom, we can't know how we ought to respond. But in all of this, the question is, even if everybody is saying Black Lives Matter, the question is, are we free yet? So how do we truly thank and praise God for his benefits to us? What do we owe God? What does he require of us? What is it that God is saying that we need to give him the honor and the true glory? Because we have to realize, if it wasn't for the Lord, what would we be? Can't you just see as Dr. King and so many others, as they marched, the many times they would take time to pray, and they would pray together, they would seek God's face, they'd be going, and you're saying, well, yeah, but as they were praying, they were still getting beat up. As they were praying, they were still getting the dogs sit on them. As they were praying, they were still getting the water hose. They were doing that so we could be at this point right now. Well, not just black folk are marching. We have white folk marching, Hispanic folk marching, Asian folk marching. We have people marching from all over. That didn't happen during the 60s, but now we have people marching even all over the world. And we say to God, God, we see you, but how can we praise you? It is God who needs to get the praise. It is God who needs to get the glory. I believe right now that those who marched back in those days can't help but say, God, I thank you that other people are beginning to get it for what we've been going through, how we've been going through, how we've been suffering, and we've come this far by faith. Well, how? What does the Lord require? Micah 6, beginning of verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. I want to do that same passage again, but I want you to listen to it in the Good News translation. It might kind of come home to some people. Verse 6, what should I bring to the Lord, the God of heaven, when I come to worship him? Shall I bring the best calves to burn as offerings to him? Will the Lord be pleased if I bring him thousands of sheep or endless streams of olive oil? Shall I offer him my firstborn child to pay for my sins? No, the Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this: to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God. We can't pay God off with things. We can't pay God off with other people. You don't make enough. You don't have enough. God has everything. So what can you give? What can I give? What can we give to God? One song says, and one passage of scripture says, what shall I render unto God for all his blessings? What shall I render? What shall I give? God has everything, and everything belongs to him. What shall I render? Tell me, what shall I give? Quickly, individually, hear this. Let God speak to you today. Give him you. Give God you. When you honestly come to him by faith, you come to him by faith. I know what you're saying. I thought you said do justice. So why am I talking about faith? Because the just shall live by faith. If you seek righteousness and justice, you will have to walk by faith and not by sight. That's why justice should be blind, truly blind. What's just for one ought be just for another. By faith, we can get it right. Evil systemic systems look at your color to determine how to treat you, rather than looking at what was done and treat everybody fairly, having faith that a righteous system would work. The present justice system is flawed, and in order to repair it, in order to fix it, we must walk in righteousness by faith in God. Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 8, puts it this way: for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, we can't just have faith without works, because faith without works is dead. So when we talk about having faith, when we're talking about being just, when we talk about doing it that way, we're talking about connecting our faith with doing the things God would have us to do. He has called us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. He's called us to do this. So you say, wait a minute, you're talking about you have to work in order. You have to work in order to get what God says. I hear you saying, it sounds like, Pastor, you're saying that we believe in salvation by works. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that you're saved because you've done the working, but I am saying that you're working because you're saved. We put all these initiatives in place for First African Baptist Church so we'll get up and do the work God has called us to do, because one day he's going to reward us for the work we've done since we've been saved. Y'all didn't hear me. There's work we have to do once we've been saved. He didn't call us and allow us to be saved just so we could sit around with our holy selves and talk about how saved we are and we're waiting for heaven to come. I'm on my way to heaven anyhow. Now, if God only wanted you saved so you could go to heaven, when you were saved, he would have killed you so you could have gone to heaven. But he saved us so we can work while we're here. He's given us faith and the opportunity to do work. And we have to do the work that we have to do is to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly before our God. We won't just treat each other right without God. I got to say that to us again. We won't treat each other right without God. Yeah, I'm not talking about having a fake God. I'm not talking about trying to twist the scriptures to meet what you want to do, how you want to do it. I'm not talking about that God and the Bible that's used by the Ku Klux Klan to decide that one group of people is supposed to be better than the other group of people and to put people down. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the true God, the liberator Christ, the one who came to set the captives free. I'm talking about the one who loves us and cares for us and loves everybody. We can't start hating folk because other folk hated us. That God doesn't teach us that. He teaches us we have to love, and it may be difficult, but once the Lord comes into our lives and we're led by the Holy Spirit, we will love like God wants us to love. We will care like God wants to care. We will live like God wants us to live. We can be filled. Listen, my brothers and sisters, we can be filled with so much hate and so much anger and so much revenge that we can't clearly see to do justice, to love kindness, or to walk humbly with our God. Why do we walk humbly? We walk humbly with God. Humbly. In other words, you don't pick yourself up and I'm all of this and a bag of chips. I'm not better than you. I'm better than her. I'm better than this. No. That's not what it's about. It's about being humble before God, being able to expose ourselves to him and let the mind of Christ dwell in us that's also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind dwell in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Walk humbly before him. Well, you might say, well, I don't feel like walking humble because we kind of on the upside now. We kind of telling folk what to do and where to go. They better listen to us. Listen to what I'm saying. We walk humbly before God. Now understand what he's saying to us. There's a reason why we have to walk humbly before God. We walk humbly before God because we all have sinned. Amen. And come short. And the wages of sin is death. You get a paycheck. Yeah, you get wages. You get paid for sin. And that paycheck is death. Anybody looking for a paycheck? You want your check to be on time? Yeah, you don't want it to come late because you got a check coming. The wages of sin, when we've sinned and messed up, when we haven't done the thing God wants us to do, when we haven't lived right, when we haven't done right, when we haven't been all we ought to be in God's sight, when we have treated folk the way we should not have treated folk, when we've acted the way we should not have acted, when we hate instead of love, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In spite of our sin, in spite of how wrong we've been, God still loves us, God still cares for us, God is willing to wipe all of our sins away. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. On a hill there's a cross. On the cross there's blood for you and for me. What blood, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. He did come through 40 and two generations. And he came to this earth and went about doing good. Out of all the good he did, folk talked about Jesus and ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. Pastor, why are you always telling us that Jesus came and he lived on this earth and he went about doing good? I want you to know that Jesus is our example of how we ought to live, how we ought to care, how we ought to forgive. He's our example of how we'll be able to make it and how we can be a salvation for this nation we live in. If we allow Jesus, who came, lived on this earth, and allowed men to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head, if we remember in our own mind, if we remember in our own bodies, if we remember how we come and celebrate even today, how he died for our sins, how he hung on the cross and the blood ran from his veins, he did die. He died a terrible death. He was whipped. He was beaten. He hung on the cross. It says his body was even unrecognizable. Not these pretty pictures we see now of Christ that people put. His body was unrecognizable, but he hung on the cross and he did die. But the story doesn't stop there. They took him off the cross, placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night Saturday night. But listen, that's not how the story is, because early on Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with power, power over the grave. Victory over death. he ascended into heaven. And as we talked about last Sunday, he sent back on the day of Pentecost the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit guides us to be more of what God would have us to be. And everybody who's come to know the Lord, everybody who's come to receive him as Lord and Savior, have a desire to live for him, have a desire to love him, have a desire to go through trials and tribulations for others, that they may come to see him, that his will might be done. So we say on today, we give our all to God because he loves us so much. And he wants us to love one another. Trust him. The Bible says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's a fact. Not just a feeling, that's a fact. You might be wondering right now, does God truly love you? The answer is yes, he does. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I know people say all the time, preachers always condemning us, condemning me for sinning, condemning me for what I do wrong, condemning me for my lifestyle, condemning me for this, No, the word of God says, he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You just have to say, Lord, I need you in my life. I've sinned, I've come short, I've messed up. And if you're listening today, if you hear this message, and you realize, yes, Black Lives Matter, I need the Lord in my life, and I want to accept him right now in my life. There's a prayer that I will pray to lead you into having Christ in your life and the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. I'll pray the prayer, but if you believe this is what the Lord did for you, if you believe that Jesus died for all your sins as we celebrate through communion, if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, rose from the grave, you can accept him in your life right now by this simple sinner's prayer. And not just the prayer I pray, whoever you know, whatever pastor you know, whoever else you know, you can talk to them about having a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The only way we'll get through all of the turmoil, the only way we'll get through all the trial and tribulation is the same way our foreparents got through it. They got through leaning and depending on the Lord. We too need to depend on the Lord. If this is what you want to do, please pray this prayer with me right now. If you want to accept him in your life, say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart, Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Hallelujah. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God. Glory. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you've accepted Christ in that moment, let us know, or let another pastor know, let another church know, let your friends know that you can begin a walk with Christ, allowing God to direct your life every day, that you can do justly, that you can love mercy, that you will walk humbly with your God. Trust God. He loves you. Great decision to make on today. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.